I'm still thinking about the scripture that tells us to be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's in Hebrews 6. But you know, I'm thinking this morning, there are those that have went before us that have provided for us a clear path. They provided for us a clear place to follow and a clear life. And, you know, we live in a world today that's pretty muddy. It's pretty murky spiritually. Even in spiritual circles, it becomes very murky. And the devil would really like that to be in our lives too. But, you know, the Lord has given us some examples that can inspire us to live the kind of life that He can use and where He wants to use it. And that's pretty important to the Lord, because the Lord wants to use us lots of times, and He has places. I believe He wants to use every one of us more than He's using us. And so we want to continually reach for that. Lord, have Your way in our life. But you know, the Lord has to prepare us many times and work in that vessel to prepare for the places that He wants to work in our lives. I want to start in Daniel 6 and just look at some of the blessed examples that the Lord left to us and gave for us that we might see a clear path to follow of those that we are following. In verse 3 of Daniel 6, it says this: "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now, who was Daniel? Anybody remember that boy down there that came with those captives from Jerusalem, and he came over into Babylon, and here he was, a young man, and he was just one of those captives. But who would have imagined that he would be in one of the top places in his country? Who would imagine that God would promote Daniel in this way? And yet we see that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. He had something that was excellent. It was beyond just okay. And so I just want to encourage us today. I believe the Lord wants us to have an excellent spirit. We bear the name of Christ. We bear the name of Christian upon us. We bear the name the Church of God upon us. That one, that church that Jesus built upon the rock with His own hands, with His own word. And we build upon Him. And when we go out looking like we look, you know, the world deserves to see something in us. They deserve to see Christ in us. When we travel, it's a time sometimes that you're going long distances. It's easy to just kind of, at least for some, to just kind of not care what they look like. I'm always so aware when we travel that we are bearing the name of Christ. We are bearing His name where we go. And so this may be the only touch these people know. They say, "Well, who are those people? They sure are different. Oh, they're Christians." You know, well, it's going to be pretty important for them to see us have an excellent spirit, isn't it? And so we read on about Daniel. He was promoted, and it made the others very jealous of that, and they were angry. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Isn't that a testimony? You know, now who was Daniel? Was Daniel some... We're following these kind of people, folks. Was Daniel some kind of special person? No, Daniel was a faithful man. That's what he was. That's all he was. He was a faithful man. And God was able to use him in places. But that wasn't who Daniel was. Daniel was a man of integrity. He was a man that when they all sought, and we all know from what we've seen in political circles today, when they start searching for something on somebody, they'll find it if it's there, normally. They will find it. These men began to look. I can't think that they just said one day, you know, well, is there anything? They looked. They wanted to know, is there anything here that we can bring accusation against the king, against him to the king? And so they came and they just had to say, we shall find none occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know, this morning there was one thing that was clear and evident to them. This man lived for God. That was something that they had plenty of evidence of. There's only one thing we can convict him of, and that's that he lives for his God, and he's not going to stray from that. So if we can find something to trip him up there, we've got him. That's all they had. That's who Daniel was. I look at that, and I think, Lord, help us to be like that. You know, Daniel, it wasn't that Daniel went out and built a great city. It wasn't that Daniel did something awesome and wonderful. He was a faithful man. And I believe that's one reason when it came time to pick these people, God knew he could trust Daniel in that place. And so that's what took Daniel where it took him, because he was a man of integrity. He was a man that could be trusted. He was a man that was honest. He was careful. He lived a life above reproach. And I want to look at a few others here this morning. You know, I want to think one more thing about Daniel. Not only did he live this way, not only did the people say this, but God himself fought Daniel's battles. The Lord could put himself on the line for Daniel because he knew that he was not going to smear his name. And so when we see that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, one of the more amazing things in the Bible to me is this. How could a king of a foreign power like that, with no God in their heart at all, how could he come to the lion's den and holler down there as if he really thought that Daniel wasn't going to be eaten? Did he have that kind of confidence in God? Do you have that kind of confidence in God? This king did. Because he saw in Daniel's life something that he believed God for. And so we find now, I want to move to Genesis 39 and look at Joseph. We're all real familiar with him, most of us. Joseph was a young man. He spent, they think, 13 years. From the time he was 17 till the time he was 30, he lived outside the realm of any kind of security. He was taken from his family. His brothers were jealous of him. God blessed Joseph, but they threw him in a pit, didn't they? And then they endeavored, some of them, they were wanting to kill him, but instead they sold him. And so we see Joseph going down into Egypt, sold as a slave, and yet we see Joseph's life in the midst of all of this. How could he have faith like that? How could he keep an excellent spirit in the midst of all that? And yet there are folks like this that we are following. And I believe the Lord would like for us to take heed. Who was Joseph? Was he a great man? Joseph was just a boy. But he was a faithful young man. He was honest. He was careful in his life. Joseph served the Lord. He did what he knew to do. Is God asking us to do something extraordinary? No, he's looking for faithful people. God did the rest. God put him in the place he was in. And God did the things that was done in his life. That was all the Lord's work. But what Joseph did, he just obeyed the Lord. He just kept a right spirit. He didn't let hate grow in his heart toward his brothers because they sold him. And he cried all of those tears. And many, many days and years, I'm sure, his heart ached time after time. But who was Joseph? He was a man that was faithful. He wasn't going to let his life be eaten by bitterness. How about you and me? We have some little something. Somebody sold us. Any of y'all slaves today that got sold? Has anybody hurt you to the point that for 13 years now, your life has been zapped out of your country, out of your language, out of your people, out of everything, and you've been taken to a foreign place? Anybody here in that situation? No, I don't think so. You know what? This man was. But he had an excellent spirit, and he never allowed it to be defiled by the enemy. And you know what? God blessed him. And the Lord had a work that he wanted to be done, and he had somebody he could do it through because he could trust this man. And so I just want to encourage us this morning, folks, we have something to follow. He didn't. He didn't have much. There wasn't much in his... He knew his father and grandfather and great-grandfather. He knew them. He knew of them. But Joseph, did he have the Bible? Did he have scrolls that he could go through? Could he read the words and be encouraged? But I'll tell you what he had. He had the Lord, and he had integrity in his life. And the rest God did this morning. I want to look at 39 and verse 20 of Genesis. First book of the Bible, 39 and 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. As if it wasn't enough for him to be sold and sent down to Egypt, then he gets there and he's a faithful man and he gets put in prison for it. He gets put in prison because he was falsely accused and would not partake of evil. And Joseph was put in prison for this. Did Joseph lose his integrity there? Listen to this. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know, this morning, Joseph didn't do this stuff. The Lord did it. It says whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. He made the right things to come along at the right times, that Joseph was in the places he needed to be. Now you say, well, it'd be nice for everything to go good like that. But what were the right things? The right thing was that he needed to be in Egypt. And so some bad things happened to Joseph. And it prepared Joseph to be the second ruler in Egypt and to be a faithful man. Those things that were hard on him, he was a faithful man in. And we find that the Lord prospered him. And the Lord did the rest. We find that when he was in prison then, this isn't the end of the story, although I don't have any more to read this morning about it, but we find that Joseph was in there with no hope of getting out. I don't see any hope. He had been in there for years. But he was a faithful man. But there was a time that the Lord wanted him out. See, God can work when we're in his hand. And Joseph, When the Lord wanted him out, he just caused the king to have a dream. Well, he caused two men to have a dream, didn't he? The butler and the baker. And so Joseph told them what their dreams meant. And then they went away. One was hanged and the other was promoted, just like Joseph said it was going to be. But you know what? God was still working there, wasn't he? And then he forgot about Joseph. But you know what? It wasn't time for Joseph to come out of the prison yet. And so we see him go on. 2 years passed. The king had a dream. And, you know what? I remember there was a man in prison that told me the meaning of my dream. And we see he told the king that, didn't he? I believe that was the butler. Is that right? I think it was the butler. And so we see The butler tells the king, you know what, I remember my fault. You know what, I was supposed to tell you about this guy, but I forgot. So he told the king, and the king wanted him brought. And within a few days, Joseph was the second ruler in Egypt, it sounds like. Within days. You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? I believe it is this. God has a will in your life and in mine. And he wants to use it. And we don't know what it is. And we might not understand why for 13 years we're in the valley. Or for 13 years, who would understand that? Who would believe that? Joseph believed God, and he lived for him faithfully this morning. I want to look at one more man, Job 1 and 1. Have you ever heard of Job? Sure, we've heard of Job. We're quite well acquainted with him, aren't we? He was the man that had all the troubles, right? I'm going to tell you who he was. There was a man in the land of Uz, this is Job 1 and 1, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed means he put it away. He did not want evil. He did not have anything to do with that. He put it away from him. This was who Job was. The Lord did the rest. Now, and he allowed Satan to work too. Let's drop on down to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now this is what the Lord said of him. You know, God had a man here that he could work with. He had somebody here that was faithful. It wasn't that Job within himself was somebody. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now this is what Satan said he's going to do if you allow me to do this. Or he actually said, if you do that. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, we know the rest of that story, don't we? And how that all that Job has had practically of value was taken from him. His sons were killed. His daughters were killed. His things were taken from him until he was left with nothing. Maybe he had his land. But, you know, we see Job here, and he said, when all of these things happened, it says in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now you know, God can't trust everybody with this kind of trial, can he? But he knew he could trust Job because he told Satan, he said, you ever considered this guy over here? I can trust him. He said, there isn't anybody like him. You know what? These things are written for our admonition, folks. The Lord's give us a bar that's pretty high. It's pretty high. But is it something that's unattainable? Is it something that's unattainable for a person to be without folly in their life, without dishonesty in their life, without hypocrisy, or without those things that people can point their fingers at and say, he talks good, but looky there. You know, the devil delights to have that kind of thing. But when the Lord has that in His power, He has something He can use. And this morning, I just want to encourage us to allow God to work in our life, to be a person that has a heart that just serves the Lord. These people were not, they were not great in themselves. Now, I know Job was a very rich man. You know, the Lord still trusted him. He was a man that had it given to God. And when the Lord took, the proof is that when it all got taken away, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I want to look on down now. You know, there's a lot of praise, I believe, to the Lord that we can give to Him if we will allow the Lord to work in our lives to bring about this kind of work in our heart. You know, maybe they had to do some real working and growing on them, and growing in the Lord and things to be able to be trusted and to have that kind of victory in their life. I know the Lord wants to give that to us. He wants to save us from sin. And then He wants our life to be something totally different, something the world can look at and that we can bring glory to God. I want to ask you, how much glory to the Lord do you think Job's life has given to God? Joseph? Daniel? How much? It hasn't stopped yet, has it? People still give glory to God for those things. I want to look over in 2 Samuel 12 and 9 and look at another man that we greatly admire. 2 Samuel 12 and 9 to 14. David was a man that the Lord greatly used too. But I want to look and see what it says about him here. Starting at verse 9. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight?" You know, David was a man that wanted to serve God, but he got caught up, didn't he? And this is what the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to him and told him. He said, "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Now he put some pretty heavy accusations. "David, you did these things. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house." I want to tell you something. There's consequences for the things that we do. Do you know that David saw much grief after this? The Lord told him, He said, "The sword's not going to depart from your house now." He had three sons that died. Absalom hanging in a tree, and someone threw a dart through his heart after he had done so much wickedness to David. "Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." I want to tell you something, saints. We need to be careful in our lives, because things that we do have consequences. They bear judgments. You know, the Lord didn't plan on David having wars the rest of his life. But you know what? Sometimes we can bring some things on ourselves. Now David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Okay, David, I'm not gonna take your life over this. And your sin's put away. But David had an awful thing he had to face now. There's so many times, folks, that we have an awful lot to face because of our actions, because of the things of our hearts. And the Lord help us to keep a clean heart and a clear place before the Lord, that the Lord can use us where He wants to, Because I'm firmly convinced that when the Lord needs somebody, and He needs people all the time, He begins to look for that person. I'm convinced the Spirit of the Lord looks for that person. And it says one place that He found none. I looked for a man, He said, to stand in the gap. You know, sometimes there has to be somebody to stand in the gap. Somebody in your family has to stand in the gap. Somebody in congregations, among peoples, in nations, there has to be somebody to stand in the gap sometimes. But do you know that the Lord said one place, through inspiration there, that I looked for a man to stand in the gap and found none. And therefore, there was great destruction happened after that. The Lord is looking for a few people that'll see the bar and will reach for it and will live a life in this life that the Lord can use their lives today. And I want to urge us today to keep our nose clean. I know that's a funny little expression, but keep our nose clean, folks. Many times the work of God is hindered if we don't keep our nose clean. We might go on and we might repent and we might say, I'm sorry, I wished I wouldn't have done that. But folks, I want to tell you something. David had something to bear the rest of his life because he didn't keep his nose clean. And so this morning, let's keep things in a clear place before the Lord, remembering that it's worthwhile. It's worth it to conquer ourself. It's worth it to fight those battles and win over those things that the Lord wants us to win over. And so the Lord told David, He said, you done this thing secretly, but this all's going to be open. And it was, wasn't it? We're reading about it today, this morning. Several thousand years later, we're reading about this. And so David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Now that was the right thing to do. God forgave David. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. You know, the Lord said something here to David that I want to capitalize on a little bit this morning. He said, David, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord. Now, the word blaspheme means to scorn. It means to abhor, to give occasion to blaspheme, to contemn, despise, or flourish, or provoke. You know, by this thing you have given occasion to the enemy against the God of Israel. You've given occasion against the people of Israel. And so this morning, when we see this, we don't want to be all down and out, but I will tell you, it ought to inspire us that we keep our lives in a clear place. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. Take the hurt, take the hit, take the place that we have to take. If we have to take hits through life, take them. When many times, if we want to keep in a clear place, there's many times that we just have to take, we have to take the worst of it. We have to not be able to have the last end of something. Maybe we let somebody take advantage or something at times. We have to do that, don't we, as God's people? But I will tell you what we do have. We maintain a clear place that the Lord can work in His work. And so this morning, if we can see the beauty of this kind of thing, if we can see the place that God wants us to reach for, Lord, that I bring no reproach upon Your cause, that I bring upon Your name something that people see, that they say, surely, I want that too. You know, I believe we can live in a place like that. I've seen people live in a place like that, that the enemy has no way to reproach them. Because, why? Because there isn't anything. They haven't been dishonest. They haven't cheated. They haven't stole. They haven't lied. They haven't mistreated. They haven't done immoral things. But I will tell you, like David, if somebody does these things, the best thing we can do is to repent, as David did. And the Lord said, I take away your sin. But we want to keep ourselves, folks. It takes time to rebuild trust. It takes time for trust to develop. Trust develops because of long integrity. It develops because there's something to truly trust. And so we have to start somewhere. If we need to start here today, if we need to start, let's start. Let's begin a life that is beyond reproach. That's not asking us to reach for the stars. It's just asking us to be godly. That's all. That's all. That's not too much, is it? So the Lord help us in every place. David gave great occasion. The Lord said this through Nathan. David gave great occasion to the enemy to blaspheme the name of the Lord. To say it's not, there's nothing to it. The God of Israel, you know what the king did? You know what the king of Israel did? Can you imagine? Because he said, you did it in secret, but it's coming out in the open. How does God have a way of doing that? But he does, doesn't he? Happens all the time. 2 Corinthians 8 and 19. We have much teaching in the New Testament telling us how we ought to walk. And it's worthy for us to study just a little bit, for us to understand the ways of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 19 to 21, he says, not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Now, all that sounds like Greek, doesn't it? But what Paul was saying was that there was chosen of the churches, there was money given to Paul to take to the needy saints, to those that were in need and in trouble. They gave Paul money. You know, there's a lot of people get in trouble right here, isn't there? You know what Paul did? They chose someone or ones to go with him, that there would be no place for reproach. Another godly person, another faithful man they chose. You go with Paul, and then when you bring word back, we have witnesses that it made it. It happened. Well, why is that necessary? Paul's a godly man. The Lord uses him. He don't need to do that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. There's something about proving and about approved of not only the Lord, but of men, that the Lord wants in our lives today. And so many times I've heard it said, well, it don't matter what they think. I know what I'm doing. I know what I did. It does matter. Because all we have between us is the trust that we have. All we have to support one another's fellowship and to support us being able to trust one another is the trust that we have. That we know that it's going to be like it is said to be. That we know that it's going to be right, honest, fair, righteous. That it's going to be holy and godly. And that's all we have between us, folks, is that we are that way this morning. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So Paul was saying that no man would blame them taking all this money. What'd you do with it, Paul? You know, did you buy you a house down there somewhere? Or did you really take it to the saints? Providing for things, he says. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We'll read quite a number of other scriptures, but that's just one little place where we find a pattern for us to follow. Followers, folks, of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, those that the Lord has worked through. Does it matter how it appears to someone else? It really does. It does, because what they see is what they believe actually happened. So we don't live under the shadow that, you know, oh, they might think this or they might. There's a place that's that's too much. But you know what? There's a real place where the Lord wants us to keep in a clear place. And where people can say, I know, I've known them. I've known them for 20 years. And I have not yet seen or heard one thing that's credible against them in an ungodly way. Is that too much for us to live that way? I don't think so. Romans 12 and 17. I understand and know that we live in an ungodly world. And people are going to, because we're Christians, they're sometimes going to feel bad toward us and maybe even say things negative. But we oughtn't to have anything truly ungodly. And that's what God can't support. Romans 12 and 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Do you know that if we claim to be holy, and we do, and we claim to live a life above reproach, a life without sin, do you know that if we recompense people evil for evil, we've just blew our testimony? We've just, those that would look upon us as Christians and what we teach and believe have nothing credible to believe then. Do you know that it don't take very much? A little, what does it say? A little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Anyway, it talks about something like that. It's like a flies in the apothecary's art, something to that effect. Do you know that it makes it to stink? And so as we live our life, I don't think it's too much for the Lord to tell us, as he has done, to live a life that's not in reproach. A little folly causes people to say there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. And so they justify themselves. They go out to meet the Lord in their justification, when we might have provided conviction instead. It's very important for us that our life be like this. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, it says. Is that too much? In the sight of God? Folks, it goes beyond that. Because we might be able to make it sometimes. Well, I know what I did. I know what I did. I'm not even going to explain. I don't care. I don't care what they think. It matters if people feel like they saw something different than what it was. It does matter. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, I'm sure there's a number of other places too, but I'm just going to read what I felt like the Lord gave me. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, why would the Lord tell us to abstain from all appearance of evil? Something that appears to be evil. Do you know that sets us to a little higher standard than the world? Because the world, maybe they just say, well, I won't do evil. But the Lord tells us not to even do things that look like we're doing evil. But somebody, when they look upon it, it looks evil. You know, there's something to keeping ourselves in a clear place. We have to work at that, because it is Satan's work to try to muddy the waters. And he does. He tries. Many times through miscommunications and things like that. But if we'll do it God's way, I really believe that for the most part, God will fight those battles for us. He'll bring to light the things that need brought to light. And if we have to bear reproach for his sake, that's okay. 1 Timothy 3 and 7 to 10. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, this is talking about a bishop having a good report of them which are without, those outside the saints. And so he said, lest he fall into reproach. Because, see, if people fall into reproach, there's a snare from Satan that comes with that, that chokes them, that deprives them of their place and of their life in the Lord. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre or money, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Folks, people will try to assign blame, but the Lord has told us to be blameless. If they try to prove it, that there's not something there, that yeah, he really was shady. Yeah, it really was a deal that really wasn't right. Or we're dealing with the world, aren't we? And so we have to have a good report of those that are without. The Lord wants us to do that as much as lieth within us. In 1 Timothy 3 and 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I will tell you, if you have something bridling you, it can stop your mouth. If there's something that's on you and the people know it and you know it, then you have only so much you can say. And the rest you're shut. But he said, those that have lived like this and used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It provides boldness, folks. When there's not something there that we have to hide, we can be bold in the Lord. But when there is, we can't, because we know we may be challenged. Titus 2 and 6. Now this is not just talking to old folks, is it? Titus 2 and 6 says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Why? That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You know what, young folk? This is talking to you, young men. It says, exhort them to be sober-minded. Be serious about life. Be serious about the things of God. Don't just follow your mind and everything that you can think of. Don't just dream and run and do. Be sober-minded. And have a pattern of good works, a pattern. Let people that follow you see that you have a pattern that is godly, that your life isn't so out of balance in some areas that they say, you know, well, yeah, they have a good testimony, they talk good, but, you know, that follows into our music, doesn't it? You know what? There's ungodly music all around us, on every hand. Music that just spews out words that are ugly, that are wicked, that are unclean. And we're listening to this stuff. And, I mean, if we are, I trust we're not. But you know what? Those things, there's music that goes with that. And do we give occasion to other young people that aren't saved to say, yeah, but go listen to their music, see what they do? Do we give occasion to them? I just want to challenge you this morning. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on anybody. Saints, this is not rocket science. This is just plain godly living. Can we not serve the Lord and please Him? How about the way that we present ourselves to the world? The way that we are to people. How about the way we dress, even? Does that matter? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Provocative. Ways that aren't clean. Ways that aren't really righteous. Ways that don't really, really magnify the Lord. Does it matter? Of course it matters. And he tells us to present ourselves in a way that those that are of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say. Now, who are the contrary? Ask Daniel. Who were they, Daniel? Those that didn't like what I was doing. They didn't like my God. They didn't like me serving the Lord. They didn't like me being honest when they weren't. They called me goody-goody. You know, maybe that's an old term, but that's one we used to use. And so it was used a lot. Do you know this morning, there needs to be somebody to show the way. Because God backs that up. And when it comes time, and maybe you've been in your little prison of persecution from a little bunch around you, or there comes a time when God says, it's time for the king to have his dream. Time for me to do something different with this person. Folks, he's looking for somebody that hasn't bowed to the pressures around us. He's looking for somebody that their pattern of life glorifies God. And they're not looking to see, well, is this really wrong? Can I get by with these things? If it don't glorify God, let's just go to the bar that's higher. And let's just go to the one that says, glorify God in everything. In everything that we do, glorify Him in body and in spirit. Can we do that this morning? Want to look on Romans 14 and 16. And it says here, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now, how can we do that? How can we not let our good be evil spoken of? Because, you see, Paul was in a place where these people didn't believe. They were raised under the Jewish law, some of them. And here they were. He said, "If to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died." You know, we want to be considerate of one another too, don't we? Of how we feel, of what we think. Is that too much? Is it really too much for a Christian to be considerate of those around him and of their feelings and thoughts? I believe the Lord, He doesn't want us to be in some kind of enclosure that we're scared to death. No, He wants us to be a good example. That's what He wants us to be. He wants us to keep in mind that all the time I'm trying to reach that person out there that hasn't found the Lord yet. I'm trying to encourage that one that is hanging their head down. And you know what? If they look over and you're trying to encourage them, we want them to have something to encourage them, don't we? Now, if we've been messing around and got marks all over us and all of that, then some point there's a time to come clean. Be clean and provide a clear place for people to follow. And, you know, from this time on, it's going to be different. And I want people to know it's different. You know, the Lord wants us to do that this morning. He wants us to stand in that clear place. I want to look in Titus 2 and verse 3 to 5. He says here, the aged, Titus 2 and 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why would He tell them not to be false accusers? Is there something sometimes about aged women that can make them do that? You know what? Paul kind of talks to all of us, doesn't he? And so we find we got to be careful with this thing, don't we? That we use this thing to bless people with. We use it to encourage people with. This tongue that we've got, that it don't bring a reproach. That it brings challenge. That it brings blessing to people. Maybe reproof once in a while. Maybe we have to use it for the right purposes. And then when we have a life to back it up, it matters when somebody feels reproved many times by a clean life and by one that they know loves them. Folks, the Lord has a lot in mind for us, and He wants us to be able to do those things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Whoa, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, when we're not in the place God wants us to be, folks, we leave an open there for the word of God to be blasphemed. What did we say the blaspheme meant? That they would, what was it, scorn? Blasphemed. We find there was a number of things there that we find that it gives the enemy occasion to scorn. To flourish was one of the words. It gives occasion to the enemy like that. So God help us this morning to stand in a clear place. And as much as possible from this day forward, to stand in a clear place. And to be in that place that the Lord can work, that He can use our lips for godly things, to bless other people. You know, in 1 Timothy 5 and 14 is another one here. It says here, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Do you know that's, now we talked to the young men a while ago. The word had some pretty clear guidelines, pretty strong challenge, wasn't it? And now he's challenging the young ladies too. He said, don't give any occasion to the adversary. The adversary, he's ever there, isn't he? Don't give him occasion to speak reproachfully this morning. And so there's many other places. I'll read a little bit more here. For 2 Timothy 3:10. You know, when we, if our thing is, if our policy is to do what we can get by with, or to, you know, we many times trouble our own house. We many times, we can get it by our mind, but can we get it by all the minds of the others? That's a mistake, folks. Because God wants to use our lives. And He cannot do it unless we have the confidence of one another. Folks, this is a big thing. We have to build confidence. It takes work. It takes time. It takes sorry sometimes. It takes repentance sometimes. David, we have a lot of respect for David. We see that David, he came from that. He repented of that. He changed. David never did that again. We have a lot of confidence and a lot of respect because David laid a foundation for us to follow. He messed up, but folks, he did not stay there. He did not say, I didn't do it. He said, okay, I did. And so this morning, I want to read here a little about Paul. He was writing to Timothy, and he says here in 2 Timothy 3 and 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Timothy, you know how I've lived. Purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience. You know what I've been like, Timothy? Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know, the Lord fought Paul's battles. He would go into prison. He would go into things. Well, you know what? The Lord fought his battles, didn't he? And out he'd come again, and God would use him again, and it would be a blessing to the people. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on down. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How did Timothy find these things? How did he know those things? We read where his mother provided him an example for him to follow. And his grandmother provided him and his mother an example to live. Somewhere it mattered, didn't it? And so this morning, I just want to encourage us. Folks, we want to make it to heaven real bad. We all, I hope, make it there. But you know, more than just that, we want others to make it too, don't we? What if Timothy's mother would have been unfaithful? What if she would have been dishonest? I wonder where Timothy would have been. Do you suppose that maybe we'd have never heard of Timothy? Do you suppose if Grandma lived her own way, do you think we'd have ever heard of Timothy? This morning, it really matters. And many times it matters in those circles that are closest to us. Those circles that matter, our family, our children, those in the extended family that we love. And we long for the Lord to talk to them. And we pray for them. But can our prayers be hindered by the things that we do? They can so easily. And Satan is a master at trying to line those things up. The thing for us to do is do our very best to be godly, to be honest, to be humble, to live a life, to not be afraid to say, okay, I'm sorry, okay, all right. You know, the Lord wants our life to be such that people will want to follow that this morning, that we can work with one another, folks. We want that. The Lord wants that. How He longs for that work and that depth of work to happen. How He longs to use your life and mine in a greater way than He is. It's only as we follow Him and just serve Him in a godly way. Then He does everything else. Amen.